This is Jim Inkster, and our guest at this time is Dr. Joel Nitzkin. He is a public health physician in New Orleans, senior fellow for tobacco policy and the R Street Institute. And good morning to you, Dr. Nitzkin.
Good morning.
You have been an opponent of cigarette smoking. That's an easy thing to oppose, and there are studies showing that things are improving, but we have ways to go as far as getting rid of cigarette smoking in the United States and the world. But how is it looking right now?
Well, right now it's looking very good. We've been making excellent progress in recent years. And one of the reasons for the most recent progress is something that's very debatable in the tobacco control community. That has to do with alternatives to cigarettes, namely e-cigarettes and smokeless tobacco.
Well, are e-cigarettes a good thing?
E-cigarettes are a good thing compared to cigarettes. They are not risk-free, but they present less than 5% of the risk posed by cigarettes in terms of serious illness. And with the possible exception of the Juul product, they appear to be significantly less addictive than cigarettes.
Well, cigarette smoking accounts, based on some studies, for 20% of the deaths in the United States each year, despite the decrease in smoking in our country. That's a big figure. One out of five people in this country are dying because they're smoking cigarettes. How do you get people after all these years to learn or to understand the risks of doing this if they have this addiction?
Well, that's a difficult issue. I mean, we've been plugging away at this for more than half a century. Back in the 1960s, about half of adults smoked. Now that's down to 14%. And for teenagers, it's down to about 8%. So we've been making steady progress. The problem is that we have a legal product that many people find pleasurable. Some people find beneficial in terms of helping them feel better and think more clearly. And a lot of people just get addicted before they are really aware of the dangers in terms of addiction and in terms of risk of cancer, heart, and lung disease.
Dr. Nitzkin of New Orleans is a public health physician, board certified in preventive medicine, and he has been an avid, an ardent, and vocal opponent of cigarette smoking, which, according to some studies, decreases life expectancy by more than a decade. What does the latest data show regarding that?
Well, there's about a 15-year lag between the reduction in smoking and the reduction in ill health. So I think that the data are showing that we're trending in the right direction. But there's a long delay. Somebody has to smoke for 10 or 15 years before they begin to experience the potentially fatal illnesses, and then another 5 years before they actually die of it. So we're moving in the right direction, but there's a huge lag. I'd also like to point out that I came to Louisiana back in 1989 as Assistant Secretary for the Office of Public Health. And while there, I played a major role in getting some of the first anti-smoking legislation through the state legislature right here in Louisiana.
And in Louisiana, like other bad habits, we have been one of the states that treasure smoking perhaps more than others. But even in Louisiana, we are following the trend. Fewer people are smoking, and now New Orleans and Baton Rouge, the two largest cities in the state, are largely smoke-free as far as establishments. Do you think that's a good thing?
No, that's a good thing. Again, we're trending in the right direction. One of the problems that Louisiana has is Louisiana has a higher percentage of poor people, people who are under the poverty level or very close to it, and they smoke more than people who are more well-to-do, than people who are more tuned into the mass media and health-related messages.
Dr. Nitzkin, we've had an increase in the tobacco tax in Louisiana, still far lower than most states, and really far lower than New York State, where it approaches $5 a pack. Do taxes work as far as dissuading people?
Yeah, taxes are effective in terms of dissuading people. They're effective to a point where a given state has taxes that are much higher than their neighbors, then that leads to a lot of illegal importation of cigarettes and contraband. Louisiana is not at that point yet. I would encourage but not rely on tax increases. I would also hope that we could get some sophistication in our tax policy where nicotine delivery products were taxed based on the risk that they pose. Thus, cigarettes would have a very high tax, in e-cigarettes and vapor products would have a very low tax or no additional tax at all.
Now, the FDA had an announcement in July of 2017 regarding nicotine addiction. What did you make of this?
The FDA announcements were largely based on this concept of the increasing popularity of e-cigarettes. I have serious doubts as to whether or not that's accurate, because a lot of e-cigarettes have no nicotine at all. Nicotine is a lesser problem than smoking. People smoke for the nicotine, but they die and they get sick from the tar. And the e-cigarettes and these alternative products don't have any of the tar. And the e-cigarettes and the alternative products can satisfy the urge to smoke for many, if not most, smokers without exposing them to that risk. And at least the regular e-cigarettes, again, possibly excluding the Juul product, are easier to quit.
Dr. Nitzkin, do you see a day when cigarettes will be prohibited altogether?
You know, the United States has not had a good track record in prohibiting any product that's strongly desired in the marketplace. What I see and what I think will be a more practical solution is that alternates to cigarettes will become so attractive that cigarettes will become obsolete. People won't smoke because they do have an urge to self-administer nicotine. They find other products that are equally satisfactory and far less risky.
CVS, a few years ago, quit selling cigarettes in its stores. I think Walgreens still does, but these drugstores now, as you know, are marketing themselves as health centers. How can you be a health center and sell tobacco products?
Let's differentiate cigarettes from other tobacco products, because it's the cigarettes that kill people. Other combustible products like cigars and so on carry a higher risk than others. And I think that, you know, this move by CVS, although it seemed laudable, I think simply shift the business to other stores, to convenience stores and others. I don't think there's any real public health impact to CVS as one store or Walgreens as another. Discontinuing selling all tobacco products, I think they would be more of a health-related enterprise if they would promote alternatives to cigarette smoking.
The U.S. Surgeon General says smoking can be blamed for more than 80%. That's 4 out of 5 deaths due to lung cancer, and that's probably no surprise, but deaths from other causes are also attributed to cigarette smoking. How much of a factor is it in heart disease and in pulmonary disease?
Oh, it's a huge factor in all those diseases, but here we are talking about the combustible tobacco cigarette when you're dealing with the e-cigarettes, and even when you're dealing with smokeless tobacco, as far as we can tell, they present probably less than 1% the risk posed by cigarettes, although the tobacco control people are intent on eliminating all tobacco products, making this a tobacco-free society. We could achieve basically the same health benefits by saying, let's make this a smoke-free society and not face the difficulties and the problems that come with prohibition of a highly desired product.
I think most people who smoke probably are aware of lung cancer and possibly heart disease as risks from smoking, but there are studies now that show that smoking is also attributable to things like diabetes, correct?
There are studies showing smoking to be a problem. The cigarettes, you know, are really a terrible, toxic, fatal product. But again, people are smoking for the nicotine. If they could transition to a product that gave them the nicotine without the other toxic chemicals in cigarette smoke, they would face probably less than 1% of the risk posed by cigarettes while satisfying their urge to smoke and find the products easier to quit. Halfway to nicotine abstinence.
Dr. Joel Nitzkin, we thank you for joining us today and glad you're living in the great city of New Orleans. And hopefully, as we move along in life, we'll have fewer and fewer people smoking cigarettes and we'll have a much better world as a result of it. Thank you, sir. And Dr. Nitzkin says he is not in any way compensated by the e-cigarette industry. Today is the 91st birthday of Birch Evans Bayh Jr. The former Indiana senator was born on this date in 1928, ran for president a few times, but he also authored Title IX And he is the only person since the Founding Fathers to draft more than one amendment to the United States Constitution, the President Disability and Succession Amendment, and the one that lowered the voting age to 18. And on June 19th, 1964, Birch Bayh and his wife, Senator Ted Kennedy, legislative aide Edward Moss, were on a small plane that crashed near Springfield, Massachusetts. The group was flying from Washington National to the Massachusetts Democratic Party's convention, where Bayh was to be the keynote speaker. Senators Bayh and Kennedy were delayed by a vote to pass the Civil Rights Act, which had been held up by a filibuster. At 11 p.m., the plane descended through heavy fog, crashed into an apple orchard. Bayh suffered muscular trauma. His wife fractured two vertebrae, but they were able to walk out of the wreckage. Kennedy was more seriously injured. He fractured three vertebrae, and Ted Kennedy broke ribs, punctured a lung. The aide, Moss, and the pilot, Edwin Zimney, suffered fatal injuries. Thrown to the front of the plane, Ted Kennedy could not move from the waist down and could not reply to Bayh's calling, "Is there anybody alive up there?" Ultimately, Bayh smelled gas, thought the plane might catch fire and explode. He went into the wreckage. At this point, Kennedy called out, "I'm alive, Birch." And Bayh pulled Ted Kennedy from the burning wreckage in 1964, when Ted Kennedy was all of 32 years old. How history might have been changed had not Birch Bayh acted heroically on that day. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned.